War of the Ring, 2nd Edition. A patient reckoning with Tolkien's whole war. Kenji here. One clean decision at a time, and the whole table becomes easier. War of the Ring, 2nd Edition, is a two-player grand strategy game in which one commander leads the free peoples of Middle-earth and the other commands the Shadow of Sauron, each pursuing a different victory. Designed by Roberto Di Meglio, Marco Maggi, and Francesco Nepitolo, and published by Ares Games, 1st edition 2004. 2nd edition 2011, it runs about 3 hours. Its engine is the action dice. Each turn you roll a handful of custom dice whose faces grant armies, character moves, musters, or events. And you spend them to fight a war while the Fellowship of the Ring slips secretly toward Mount Doom. The Shadow can win by conquering enough free people's cities and strongholds, or by corrupting the Ringbearer past 12 points on the corruption track. The free peoples can win by a far smaller military conquest, or their true hope, by walking Frodo into the fire. It is widely regarded as one of the finest thematic strategy games ever made. If you want one epic Lord of the Rings game for two, this is it. In 2002, three Italian designers sat down to attempt a thing most thought impossible. To put the entire War of the Ring, armies and errand alike, the Clash of Nations and the small footsteps of two hobbits, onto a single board in a single evening. The result, published by Nexus in 2004 and refined by Ares Games into the second edition we play today, did not simplify Tolkien to make him fit. It found a structure honest enough to hold him. That structure is the action die. A roll that hands each player not a menu of optimal moves, but a fistful of limited verbs, forcing the eternal question of this game. Do I make war, or do I tend the quest? The Free People's player feels the weight Tolkien described. There are never enough hands, never enough time, and the one thing that matters most cannot be commanded, only protected. The Shadow player feels the opposite weight, vast strength, but a clock, and a fear that the ring is moving while the armies march. This review treats the game the way it deserves to be treated, slowly, term by term, with respect shown through precision rather than enthusiasm. We will cover what it is, what comes in the box, how it actually plays, whether it is worth owning, how to play each side well, which expansions matter, and who it is for. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What War of the Ring actually is. Two roads, one ring strip away the miniatures and the lore, and War of the Ring is a contest between two clocks. The Shadow holds overwhelming force and must spend it before the free peoples find their footing. It wins by conquering settlements worth 10 victory points, or by driving the Ringbearer's corruption to 12. The free peoples hold almost nothing and must survive. They win by a military conquest worth only 4 victory points, or, decisively, by carrying the ring into Mount Doom. That asymmetry is the whole design. The Shadow is supposed to be winning the war. The question is whether it wins fast enough, because every die the Dark Lord spends besieging Gondor is a die not spent hunting two hobbits in the wild. The engine that meters all of this is the action dice. Each turn both players roll their pool, the free peoples begin with 4 dice, the Shadow with 7, and the faces dictate what is possible. A character action, an army action, a muster, an event, the Will of the West for the free peoples, the Eye of Sauron for the Shadow. You do not get to do what you want, you get to do what you rolled, and the art of the game is making a wasteful roll matter. A game that gives you everything teaches nothing. War of the Ring teaches by withholding. The asymmetry, in numbers the Shadow needs 10 victory points of conquered cities and strongholds to win militarily, the free peoples need only 4. The free peoples start with 4 action dice, the Shadow with 7. Corruption ends the game for the free peoples the instant it reaches 12. Why 2 victory paths matter, most war games offer one way to win, so both players fight the same fight. War of the Ring gives each side a military path and the ring path, so the two players are often racing on different tracks at once, and the tension lives in the gap between them. What's in the box? 200+ figures and a map of Middle-earth, the second edition is a heavy box, and the weight is earned. Inside are roughly 205 plastic figures drawn from more than 30 distinct sculpts. The infantry, cavalry, and elven, dwarven, and mannish nations of the West set against orcs, trolls, easterlings, southrons, and the riders of Mordor, alongside the named figures. Frodo and Sam, the companions of the Fellowship, Gandalf, Aragorn, the Witch King, Saruman, and the Mouth of Sauron. The board is a single large map of Middle-earth printed across two sections, roughly 70 by 100 centimeters. It wants a real table. The dice are the heart of the system. 16 action dice in two colors plus 5 red combat dice. There are 110 event and character cards, split into strategy and character decks for each side, and a set of cardboard counters for armies, leaders, settlement control, and the hunt. Two player aid folders carry the reference charts you will lean on for your first several games. The components are not luxury for luxury's sake. The figures communicate the state of the war at a glance. You read the board the way a general reads a map, and the custom dice make every turn a small, physical act of fate. Quality of materials is a courtesy. Clarity of materials is a design decision. The contents, counted about 205 plastic figures, 30+ sculpts. A two-section board, /70 by 100 cm. 16 action dice, 5 combat dice, 110 event and character cards, 76 cardboard counters, the rulebook, and 2 player aid folders. It needs the table, and the time reviewers note the board demands substantial space. Setup runs around 20 minutes, and a full game frequently exceeds the advertised play time. This is a clear the evening, clear the table game, not a filler. How it plays. The action dice, the war, and the fellowship a turn begins with the hunt allocation and the roll. Both players reveal their action dice, and from that moment the turn is a conversation of spent dice, one at a time, until both pools are empty. Each face is a verb. A character die moves a leader-led army, advances a companion or a minion, or plays a character event. For the free peoples it can also move, hide, or separate the fellowship. An army die musters and maneuvers troops. A muster die raises new forces or brings nations into the war. An event die plays a card from hand. The free people's rare Will of the West face is a wild card. It becomes any other result, or crowns Aragorn or summons Gandalf the White. The shadow's eye face is the price of power. Eyes are placed into the hunt box, feeding the search for the ring. Combat resolves with the 5 red dice. Armies trade blows, hits typically landing on high rolls, leaders granting re-rolls, and combat cards bending the exchange. Running underneath, the war is the quest. The fellowship moves in secret along a hidden track. When it tries to advance, the shadow rolls the hunt, and successes inflict damage that becomes corruption, unless a companion is sacrificed to absorb the blow. At 12 corruption, the ring claims Frodo and the free peoples lose. The genius is that the two systems share one resource, your dice. You cannot fully fight and fully hunt and fully run. You choose, and the choosing is the game. Plastic hosts of the free peoples and the shadow deployed for battle across the map. The hunt is paid for in fear when the fellowship moves, the shadow rolls the hunt. Damage becomes corruption on the fellowship track, or it is absorbed by sacrificing a companion. The free people's player must spend friends to keep Frodo whole, exactly the bargain Tolkien wrote. The eye is a tax on strength, every shadow die that comes up as the eye goes into the hunt box rather than acting. The Dark Lord's vast pool is real, but a portion of it is always staring into the dark instead of marching. A quiet, elegant break on the stronger side. Is it worth it? Wait, time, and the question of luck War of the Ring asks a great deal before it gives. The rulebook runs roughly 48 pages, dense with exceptions, and the consensus among reviewers is plain. You will not learn this on the fly. The first game is a tutorial whatever you do, and it takes 2 or 3 sessions before the systems click into a single understanding. Budget 3 to 4 hours, plus setup. faster once both players know the dance. The marketing says 2 to 4 players, but the truth is that this is a 2-player duel. Extra players merely share one side's decisions, and the game loses nothing by being played by 2. There is dice luck, both in the action roll and the hunt, and a player who wants the perfect information chess of a Eurogame will chafe. But the luck is not the kind that decides games, it is the kind that creates them. A bad roll is a problem to be solved with the dice you have, and the better player is reliably the one who solves more of them. Set against the cost is a payoff few games reach. The sense, sustained for hours, that you are not playing about the Lord of the Rings but inside it. For the player who wants one definitive Tolkien strategy game, who has a regular opponent and an evening to give it, the value is not in question. For the player who wants something teachable in 15 minutes, this is the wrong book entirely. A great game does not apologize for its length, it justifies it. The commitment, stated plainly, roughly a 48-page rulebook, about 3 to 4 hours per game, till the 20-minute setup, and a genuine learning curve of 2 to 3 sessions before mastery. True player count is 2. How to make the first game land? Read the rules in full before you sit down. Accept that game 1 is a teaching game, and play the standard 2-player duel rather than a team variant. Expect the system to click in your second or third game, not your first. Playing the free people's well. Spend friends, buy time, guard the ring the free people's player wins by understanding a hard truth. You cannot match the shadow in attrition, so you must not try. The first discipline is the fellowship. The companions exist to protect Frodo, let them. Do not hoard them, sacrifice them to absorb hunt damage and keep corruption low and the fellowship moving. A companion saved while the ring bearer corrupts is a companion wasted. The second discipline is tempo. Your starting 4 dice are not enough. Your task in the early game is to grow the pool towards 6 by bringing your bonus characters into play, separating companions from the fellowship, and sending them to activate the nations of the West, getting Strider to Gondor to become Aragorn, letting Gandalf fall and return the stronger. The third discipline is the gift of pressure. The free peoples can become the aggressor not to conquer, but to distract. Force the shadow to defend its victory point locations, and every die it spends defending is a die it does not spend hunting or attacking. This is also your military path. A powerful, well-timed strike force mustered in Gondor or Rohan, backed by event cards, can retake the strongholds you need before the shadow reaches 10. But never commit to an attack that becomes a war of attrition. The shadow can afford to lose units, and you cannot. Defense buys the quest its hours. The free peoples do not win the war, they survive it long enough for 2 hobbits to end it. Detail of the sculpted miniatures representing the kingdoms and characters of the Third Age. The Fellowship Doctrine, use companions as armor for Frodo. Spend them to absorb hunt damage so corruption stays low and the fellowship keeps advancing. A live companion beside a corrupted ring bearer has failed at the one job that mattered. Aggression as distraction. Every action die the shadow spends defending a victory point location is 1 not spent hunting the ring. Threatening the shadow's settlements can buy Frodo the turns he needs to reach the crack of doom, but never trade into a war of attrition you cannot afford. Playing the shadow well. Strength is a clock, so spend it. The shadow player commands the stronger army and the heavier burden, not of weakness, but of time. You are supposed to be winning, the danger is that you win slowly while the ring crosses the map behind you. The first discipline is the pool. You begin with 7 dice and want to reach 10, and you reach them by mustering your minions into play, Saruman, the Witch King, the Mouth of Sauron, each of whom expands what your turn can do. Bring them out early, a minion in hand is a die you do not have. The second discipline is the dilemma you impose. You cannot fully hunt and fully attack at once either, but unlike your opponent you can choose where to apply your weight, and you should vary it so the free peoples never know where the blow falls. Press Gondor and Rohan, the soft victory point centers in the south, threaten the North to stretch the defense thin. The Nazgul give you reach the free peoples cannot match, fly them deep, force sieges, and grind toward the 10 points of conquest. The third discipline is the hunt as pressure, not lottery. Feeding the hunt box with eyes raises the danger to the fellowship even when you do not destroy it. Sustained pressure forces the free peoples to burn companions and slow down, which buys your armies the time to finish the war. Do not fall in love with either path. The complete shadow player makes the free peoples afraid of both at once, then wins with whichever they failed to defend. Event and character cards bringing Tolkien's narrative beats into play. Muster your minions first grow from 7 dice toward 10 by bringing Saruman, the Witch King, and the Mouth of Sauron into play early. More dice means more pressure on every track at once. The Shadow's whole advantage compounds from tempo. Vary the axis of attack, do not telegraph. Threaten Gondor and Rohan, then the North. Use the Nazgul's reach to force sieges where the free peoples are thin. A predictable Shadow lets the defender concentrate, and a concentrated defense can hold the 10 points you need. The expansions and who it's for, where to stop, and where to begin the base game is complete. Nothing below is required. But the line has grown thoughtfully, and the expansions answer different appetites. Lords of Middle-earth is the connoisseur's first edition. It gives figures and rules to personalities once confined to event cards. Elrond, Galadriel, Smeagol, Gothmog, and the Balrog of Moria, plus alternate Gandalf, Witch King, and Mouth of Sauron, and 2 new dice. The Free People's Elven Ring Keepers and the Shadow's Lesser Minions. Warriors of Middle-earth brings the Legends of the Field, Ents, the Dead Men of Dunharrow, the Great Eagles, Corsairs of Umbar, Wild Hillmen, and Giant Spiders, promoting them from cards to sculpted ability-bearing forces. Kings of Middle-earth, the newest of the trio, add Sovereigns Brand, Dane Ironfoot, Denethor, Theoden, Thranduil, and Dark Chieftains, the Black Serpent, the Shadow of Mirkwood, Ugluk, deepening the political layer of who rules where. All three combine. As for who should own the base game, the player who wants one definitive Lord of the Rings strategy experience, the pair who will return to it across many evenings, the patient student who reads a rulebook as a pleasure rather than a tax. It is not for the casual table, the 15-minute crowd, or the player who needs perfect information. Choose this game the way you would choose a long book by an author you trust. It does not court you, it rewards you. Which expansion, in one line each Lords of Middle-earth, named Lords and the Balrog, plus 2 new dice. Warriors of Middle-earth, Ents, Eagles, Dead Men, and more as real units. Kings of Middle-earth, Sovereigns and Dark Chieftains, a deeper political layer. None required, all combinable. The line keeps growing. Ares continues to support the game 2 decades on, a 2 decades limited edition, and a further expansion, Sieges of Middle-earth, are part of the ongoing line. The base box you buy today sits at the center of a living system, not a closed one. Final verdict. War of the Ring, 2nd edition, is the definitive Lord of the Rings strategy game and one of the genre's true masterpieces. But it is a masterpiece that asks to be earned. Give it the rulebook, the table, the 3 hours, and a steady opponent, and few games in the hobby return more. The war and the quest pulling against a single pool of dice, the free peoples buying time with the lives of friends, the shadow racing its own strength against a moving ring. The luck is real, and the learning curve is steep, and it is honestly a 2-player game wearing a 2-4 label. None of that diminishes it. The base box is complete and is the only purchase most players need. The 3 expansions are for the devoted later. If you want one epic Tolkien game to keep for a decade, buy this one, learn it properly, and let it teach you the difference between commanding a war and surviving one. Frequently asked questions. What is War of the Ring, 2nd edition, about? It is a 2-player grand strategy game of the entire War of the Ring. One player commands the free peoples of Middle-earth, the other the Shadow of Sauron. While their armies fight across the map, the Fellowship secretly carries the One Ring toward Mount Doom, and either the war or the quest can decide the game. How long does a game take? About 3 to 4 hours for a full game, plus roughly 20 minutes of setup. Experienced players who know the system can finish closer to 2.5 to 3 hours. How many players is it really for? It is fundamentally a two-player duel. The box lists 2 to 4 players, but the 3 to 4 variants simply split one side's decisions among teammates. The game loses nothing when played by two, and is arguably best that way. What are the two ways to win? Both sides can win militarily or via the ring. The Shadow wins by conquering 10 victory points of cities and strongholds, or by corrupting the Ring Bearer to 12 corruption. The Free Peoples win by conquering 4 victory points, or their true hope, by moving Frodo into Mount Doom to destroy the ring. How do the action dice work? Each turn you roll your pool of custom dice. The Free Peoples start with 4, the Shadow with 7. Each face is an action type: character, army, muster, event, plus the Free People's Will of the West wildcard and the Shadow's Eye. You spend the dice you rolled, so the challenge is making a limited or awkward roll count. What is the hunt for the ring? It is the system that threatens the Fellowship. The Shadow feeds the hunt box, notably with eye results, and when the Fellowship moves, the Shadow rolls the hunt. Successes deal hunt damage that becomes corruption on the Fellowship track, unless the Free People sacrifice a companion to absorb it. At 12 corruption, the ring claims Frodo and the Free Peoples lose. Is it hard to learn? Yes. The rulebook is roughly 48 pages dense with exceptions, and the consensus is that you cannot learn it on the fly. The first game plays like a tutorial, and most players say it takes 2 or 3 sessions before the systems click into a single understanding. Is there a lot of luck? There is dice luck in both the action roll and the hunt, but it functions as a problem to solve rather than a coin flip that decides the game. Over a full session, the more skilled player reliably comes out ahead. The randomness creates situations rather than dictating outcomes. Which side is harder to play, Free Peoples or Shadow? Both are demanding in different ways. The Free Peoples juggle a fragile Fellowship against an overwhelming enemy and must buy time. The Shadow holds the stronger army but races a clock, balancing the hunt against military conquest. Many players find the Free Peoples slightly more punishing to learn because the margin for error is thinner. Do I need the expansions? Number the base game is complete, and is the only purchase most players ever need. Lords of Middle-earth, Warriors of Middle-earth, and Kings of Middle-earth each add characters, units, and rules for veterans, and all three can be combined. But only consider them once the base game is second nature. How does it compare to Star Wars? Rebellion. They are the two giants of the narrative, asymmetric, two-player epic genre, and both run 3 to 4 hours. Rebellion centers on the Empire hunting a hidden rebel base via leader missions. War of the Ring centers on the dual tension of open war and a secret quest driven by action dice. Many in the hobby give War of the Ring the edge for thematic depth, though the choice often comes down to which setting you love more. Is War of the Ring worth buying in 2026? For the right player, unreservedly. It remains one of the highest-regarded strategy games in the hobby. The second edition is the definitive version, and Ares continues to support the line 2 decades on. If you have a regular opponent, an appetite for depth, and an evening to give it, it is a near-certain centerpiece purchase. If you want something light and quick, look elsewhere.